What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This podcast, of course, is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps the podcast keep on going. This is episode 198, and with me is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How's it going?
How was your Halloween?
It was cold, but it was good. We, you know, successful night of taking candy from the neighbors. So
it was fun. I did the whole, like, I'm too lazy to answer the door thing, and I just left a bowl outside.
Yeah, I mean, we leave a cauldron of candy out front because the kids are young enough that we both actually have to take them out, and nobody's here at the house. And like, we've done that for 3 years in a row now and had no issues with it. And we always come back and there's still candy in there, which surprises the hell out of me.
I got cleared out. Man. I don't know if the kids like around where I live are just like hoodlums or something. Yeah.
Do you have like a ring or anything, like cameras up front?
Not like there. I have cameras that point at the street, but it's from above. So it's not the same, but I definitely got cleared out. It was kind of funny, but I was very festive and I turned all of the lights in my house, all my smart bulbs to orange.
Oh, orange. Yeah.
Yeah. For Halloween.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of colored bulbs. The colored ones I have are like not visible for outdoors. I thought about getting some, but it just didn't seem worth it. But I do have like, you know, 3 hours of video footage that I'm going to put into like a time-lapse video just for trick-or-treating.
Of all the kids going through
it. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be kind of funny, actually, just to see.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, so this is our weekly tech podcast. And for everybody that's just jumping on the stream now, we do have our show notes page if you want to follow along. It is linked in the description below. I'll bring it up here for you guys. But we do have our full show notes. So as we go through all the stuff that we're talking about this week, you can click through and get even more information. Or if you just want to follow along with us, you can go ahead and do that. If you are in the stream, definitely, you know, say hi, say what's up. And if you have any questions, definitely ask us and we'll try to answer them to the best of our ability. Ryan's really good with that stuff. I'm not that smart when it comes to tech stuff. So,
yeah. Okay.
But we'll start with reviews this week and three really awesome products. We'll start it out here with a graphics card. And this is Sapphire's. Pretty much their flagship Radeon RX 5700 XT. It's the Nitro Plus. I have it here. I hope I don't drop it. It's the Nitro Plus, which I have right here. Big card, hefty overclock, awesome backplate. I like the backplate more than the front. So it's all black here. And like, I wouldn't say that it doesn't do it for me, but it's just
kind of plain. Yeah.
There's no,
I mean, it's got that little honeycomb pattern, but past that, it's pretty plain looking.
Yeah, there's no RGB lighting on the front. What's actually kind of cool is that Sapphire does have fan replacements that are ARGB fans that you can buy for this. But of course, it's an added cost. It doesn't come stock with a card. But you do get RGB lighting. Here, we'll just go into the review instead of me holding it and almost dropping it.
Yeah, drop it.
Yeah, let's see what page that stuff is on. But again, this is their flagship. So this is basically the best you can get from Sapphire when it comes to their RX 5700 XTs. They do have the Pulse as well, which is a little bit lower cost. See if I can find where where those pictures are. Here we go. So as far as like RGB lighting, you have the Sapphire logo right here. You have the RGB strip up top here. You have RGB on the back, which you don't see a whole lot of these days. It's actually like RGB on the back. So this Nitro logo lights up as well. One thing that is not the best is that you can't control these individually, which is kind of a bummer. It's all one setting.
On the top there. There's not multiple LEDs or
there's or not
zones aren't independent.
You can't do zones. So you can't do like, you know, the logo is a zone. This RGB strip up here is a zone.
Okay.
Like it's all one, which I mean, it's not a big deal in it and everything like that. But when there's other cards and other, you know, that actually give you the ability to do it, it's kind of, you know, but one thing that is nice is if you can see right here, That is actually a 3-pin RGB connection. So instead of using their software, you can connect this to your motherboard software and have everything kind of be in sync and be cohesive, cool. Which is really nice. Also up here is you have a BIOS switch. So this actually has three BIOSes. There's default, there's performance, and then there's silent. It ships in default. So we ran the card in default, but you can do either. It's nice having multiple BIOSes. I've actually bricked AMD cards before.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to recover.
Yeah, so that you can recover and everything like that. But the silent BIOS, of course, runs the fans at much... It runs the processor at a lower speed, and it runs the fans at a lower speed as well. Performance is sort of like an overclock, and the default is kind of like the default settings. But overall, the RGB lighting is good. It's the most RGB you're going to see on a Sapphire card. So there are some rumors that they might come out with a toxic card, which would sit above this in the product stack, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But the card is good. It's a beefy card. The cooling solution is actually very good as well. It's one of the best AMD coolers that I've seen. If we go to our temperatures here, under load, it only gets up to 67 degrees Celsius under full load. And for an AMD card, that's really, really good. It beat out... Are good?
No, I'm just looking there. It looks like the next one up was, 69 degrees on the that MSI card?
On the MSI card. And then that card was a little loud. And then you had the ASRock card, the Tai Chi card, and that was very hot. But that card, I would say that the loudest out of the three was the MSI card. But I think that, Sapphire has really done a great job with this card. It's kind of like the culmination of all of their technologies into one card. It doesn't have as many display outputs as, say, like the ASRock card did. The RGB is toned down, and in my opinion, the ASRock card looks better. But you do get really great software. So they've completely redone their Trix software, and it looks so much better. If you use Trix in the past, like, it just looks, I mean, if you look at
it's
it,
it's like an updated, current application.
Yeah, it looks like, like a real application that you didn't use in 2009. That's really, really nice. It works so well. And one thing that's cool that I don't think I've ever seen on any graphics card software is that you can actually switch the BIOS with software. You don't have to do it with Switch. So you can actually click here and actually switch the BIOS.
Interesting.
Which is very cool. If you didn't want to have to open your system and switch the BIOS if you're doing that. Another thing that they do have is their Trix Boost. This basically gives Windows more resolution. So you go into, you load up your game and you're going to get, 1080p, 1440p, 4K resolutions. And, maybe a few other ones in there a little bit. But you're not going to get a ton of resolutions in your game because that's just not what it offers. With this, it will give you, say we want the quality to be down a little bit, and we'll go on 90, that would run, a 4K resolution at 3456 by 1944. Okay. And what that does is it runs the game at that resolution, and then it uses Radeon image sharpening to upscale that to 4K. So if you're, looking, this especially at 4K, this card can do 4K, but you have to turn some settings down. This would basically allow you to have the highest settings, run it at 4K, and then run it at this lower resolution, upscale it to 4K, and it will probably look better. So this is like if you're looking to, you want to get over, maybe you're running a high resolution display and you want to get over 144, FPS or whatever it may be. This is more for the lower end cards in AMD's product stack, but it's there. It's in the software. It's something that other manufacturers don't give you. So I kind of like it, in that respect. I really think this is great for lower end cards where people are trying to hit 60 FPS and maybe like 1440p, and stuff like that. So that's in there as well. They have a fan health check. And the Nitro Glow is their RGB control. Super simple. It's super simple. That's why I really love their new software. And if you want to connect the ARGB header, you just click external source and it will run it off your motherboard software, which is great. As far as performance, all of the RX 5700 XTs will perform more or less the same. Yeah. You're only going to get like the overclocks are between like 1 and 5% overclock. So you're not going to see a ton of difference. You know what I mean? But this is really like the 1440p card. You know, it's just gonna, it's gonna run everything at 1440p at higher frame rates. You don't have to worry about it dipping below 60 or anything like that. And it, again, with our testing, it all depends on the game. Some games are better optimized for NVIDIA. Some games are better optimized for AMD. So it all depends on what you're playing. The only thing, you know, if you compare this to like a 2070, and they're both very close, 2070 Super is going to perform a little bit better, like 5 to 10% better. Yeah. And the only thing you're not going to get with this card is you're not going to get real-time ray tracing or DLSS.
Sure.
A lot of people don't care, right? But obviously, if you want to do ray tracing, this isn't going to be a card you're looking at anyways. But I think Sapphire has done a really good job with this card.
I want to go back kind of, you said, you know, the performance for all those 5700 XTs, it's all very similar. So that's kind of really where that, again, that aesthetic, the noise level, and that's where our reviews really help out, I think, like comparing those temperatures across the cards, because while they may have the same performance, right, seeing what those temperatures actually end up like, the fan noise, and then the looks, yeah, right, that, you know, the information that you give in the review could, you know, sway someone on that as well. So I think that's real important piece of reviews.
Having a factory overclock, we always say that's great to have. So like, I would pick this card up obviously over a reference card. And typically, for the most part, cooling solutions are better on aftermarket cards as well. This has a great cooling solution. It's very quiet. You know, the extra overclock that you're going to get, it, you're not going to notice it in games. Like, you're just not. But to have the extra performance, instead of getting 55 FPS, I'm going to get 60, right?
Sure.
Or whatever. It's not a big deal, but it's always, at least in my opinion, it's always good to get the aftermarket. You just get so much more. A lot of times you get custom board designs, which have better power delivery. There's so much more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course you're getting RGB lighting with this and everything like that. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it is a great card, and it's one that I would recommend. If somebody was suggesting or asking me which 5700 XT to get, it would be between this card and the Tai Chi card. I just love that Tai Chi card.
And those extra outputs too helps.
Yeah.
If you need it.
The Tai Chi card is more expensive. So this is $459, which is a $59 premium over the reference card. I think it's worth it. Again, better cooling, much more quiet, factory overclock, the Trick software, all that stuff is worth the $59 to me. You know, the only thing that we did notice is that power consumption was a little higher compared to the other 5700 XTs.
Yeah.
But it's not like crazy or anything like that. Likely because you do have the triple fan cooling solution and everything like that, and higher power for the overclock and all that. But
cool.
But yeah, good. Like I said, it is one that I would definitely recommend. So definitely check out our review. Good stuff there. And then I took a look at basically the fastest or highest frequency memory kit that I've ever tested.
4400.
Yeah, 4400 megahertz. This is the Patriot Viper Steel DDR4 4400 megahertz kit, 16 gig kit. The one thing that's interesting about this kit is that there is no RGB on it.
Ugh, what? What?
Yeah,
it's 2019. Everything has RGBs on it.
2020, no RGB on this. And I think so many people will rejoice in that, right?
Yeah.
There is not a lot of high performance memory that is non-RGB. If you look for the high, like, you know, the best memory that companies make, like, you know, you have your Corsair Dominator, but it's a Dominator RGB.
Yep.
You know, all of the high-end memory, you don't have a lot of options with non-RGB. You just don't, because companies are putting the RGBs on there because that's what's selling.
It sells, yep.
You know, so this is non-RGB, and it's actually some of the best looking.
That's a good looking heat spreader.
Yeah,
and I think there's definitely a market for those people that don't want the RGB, right? Like, and this is going to appeal.
For sure. And you're not going to pay the premium. Like, I know a lot of people that like put the RGB to one color. Like, they don't want all the effects. They just like, you know, so you're not going to pay the extra money per se for RGB when you get a kit like this. Yep. And it looks amazing. Like, you have this gunmetal heat spreader. The top part, which I'll show you in a second, is black. You have the black PCB, and then you have this diamond cut Viper Gaming logo there. Definitely, like I said, one of the best looking kits that we've seen from Patriot. They're just, like I said, they look awesome. Yeah. There's the top part that has the Viper logo there. Just looks really, really good. And it's 4,400 megahertz. That's super fast. That's out of the box. You enable XMP profile and you're running at 4,400 megahertz. The only caveat to that I have to say is that you need a motherboard that's going to support that. I tried two different motherboards till then. I finally ended up using that.
The Crosshair, right?
Yeah, ROG Crosshair 8, which supported the high memory out of the box. Most motherboards actually won't support this speed. They just won't. Even new ones, like I've tried X570 boards, they just don't. You know, so you have to make sure that your motherboard will support it. But again, you can get this memory as low as 3000 megahertz, and then it goes up from there.
A lot more compatibility at that level, yeah.
But obviously, testing this at 4400 megahertz, it blew all the other memory that we tested out of the water. It's just, if you go to our comparison, I mean,
wow,
it's at the top of the list. Out of all of these other kits, you know, Corsair Dominator Platinum's here below it. It just blows everything out of the water. When you're running memory that fast, you're just going to get that. It's just,
yeah,
you know. One thing that was very interesting is that I did try to overclock, even just moving this up to 4466, it was unstable. It booted into Windows, and then when I just tried to even like open a program, froze. So they've basically maxed this out.
Yeah, they've been to those chips, you know, and gotten the most out of them as possible.
Yeah, so that just shows that like they really maxed this out. This is the highest you can go. But if you're looking for some of the fastest memory out there, this is it. I believe I gave it a 9 out of 10 as well. It's just the biggest caveat to this is that you need a board that's going to support it. And most of those are like the super high end Gigabyte boards, the super high end MSI, super high end ASUS boards. Those are the ones that are going to be able to support it. I think ASRock, a few of those will support it as well.
So it looks like it's got a little bit of a price premium, obviously, with that high speed 140.
Yeah, 140 for a 60 gig kit, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
But it's 4400 megahertz.
Yeah. I mean, if you need that performance and want that, you'll pay the premium for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So definitely check out that review as well. Had a lot of fun testing that because I was getting very frustrated. I couldn't find a board that would run these, but I finally got it and we got all that done. So definitely very very fun product, and just to see the performance, you're just like, phew, you know. So that's pretty awesome. But you took a look at a headset, and this is a headset that you have on right now.
It is. I am wearing it right now.
Yeah, that is the core. You have the special edition, correct?
Correct. This is the Virtuoso RGB Wireless SE. That SE differentiates it a little bit from the standard Virtuoso model. You know, you get the standard Virtuoso is mostly plastic design, a little less refinement. Some of the RGB lighting is a little different as well. So this is one of Corsair's latest headsets. Obviously, as the name says, it's wireless. Got it on here right now. It has a couple, I don't know if you want to scroll through and I'll just kind of as we go, sure. There's a couple of the items that the special edition that separate it from the other one, and you kind of have a price premium there as well. We just talked about the premium you're going to have on that memory. This is another one of those premium products as well from Corsair, kind of their high end. The cabling is really nice, right? You're on the USB right there. Really flexible, like braided cables. With nice plastic and aluminum accents. So those,
is that actually aluminum right now?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Because it looks so nice, but you never know, right?
Yes, yeah. It's aluminum pieces there. The frame of the, or yeah, you've got the removable microphone, which I'm not using the mic here. While Corsair calls it broadcast grade or broadcast quality, it's still not up to the level of a standard, you know, a dedicated condenser yeah. style microphone, but it does sound quite a bit better than previous microphones. But it is removable as well, so it's not in the way. I don't have to flip it up or anything. It does have a little if you scroll down, oh, you're there. Okay, so there's a button for muting on the section that attaches to the headset, so you've got your mute capabilities there. The actual end of the microphone is an aluminum piece as well and has a light ring around it, so when the microphone's muted, it's green, and when you're unmuted, it's red. Nice. So you got there a little visual indicator. It's a flexible microphone boom as well, so it's, you know, you can kind of put it where you need to.
One thing that I feel yeah. very interesting about this headset is that it doesn't necessarily look like a gamer headset. Like if you look at that,
yeah,
besides the mic, if you took the mic off,
yeah, it looks like a high-end, you know, like Sony almost style yeah. headset. And you passed it real quick, but I'll just hold it up here. It also comes with this like cool pouch, travel pouch. It's got kind of a magnetic cover there, so just kind of one of those, again, one of those add-ins that adds to that premium feel and design there. So right there, that image you're showing is the side of the ear cups. There's RGB lighting there, and instead of that being like a transparent plastic piece or something like that, that's actually some micro perforation. Okay. So tiny little holes there to show that Corsair logo. Nice. And the lighting glows through that. So that's unique to the SE model. The other model is a plastic ear cup design and just kind of has a transparent piece of plastic in that section.
Volume wheel.
Yes, it's a nice wheel there,
I
right?
I like the wheel.
Instead of button.
When it comes to the wireless headsets, I hate like
clicking it up or down.
You'd have to click it.
Yeah,
the wheel is nice. I like to. It's yeah. I just
again,
like
that. It's that metal wheel, and the scroll feel is really nice. It's like feels high end. It doesn't. It's not a loose scroll. It's not too fast. It's not hard. It's just like it has a like the perfect amount of resistance. Just again, and makes it feel high end.
This is the normal audio jack right here.
So yeah, you've got a 3.5. You've got three connectivity options. So that first port to the left is the mini USB to connect the microphone. The center one there is your 3.5 millimeter for, you know, if you want to use it on a, you know, dedicated audio player or your phone or just the headset jack on your PC, that's available. And then you have a USB type C connection as well, which actually allows you to play back higher quality audio files. So that's kind of nice there. And there is a bit of a difference between using wireless and the USB connection. There is a quality upgrade there. So if you really want the best performance out of this headset, the wired USB connection is the best.
USB-C will also charge it, correct?
Yes, charges okay. that as well.
Nice.
Correct.
Very cool.
And yeah, so they've got the kind of faux leather padding on the sides with memory foam. Pretty comfortable. They are a round shape for the ear padding. A little different than like the Void RGB, you know, that's kind of been my headset that yeah. kind of has a different shaped earpiece.
Have you done any long gaming sessions with these?
Yeah, I mean, I've had them on for probably 3 hours tops.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable. I don't have any complaints. I do prefer the cloth material of the Void as opposed to this material, the fake leather. But yeah. I think it's just like a personal preference thing, and I've gotten used to it already. So
nice. One thing I do want to point out is that we do have audio sample. Yep. Comparing the mic on the Virtuoso to the Void Pro. If you guys are interested in this headset, definitely listen, because I wasn't like crazy blown away, but I was still pretty blown away, because like I'm used to headset mics and they just suck. Like they're just not good. And the Void Pro,
it's fine, but
it will get the job done, but it's not good.
No.
This Virtuoso and that, and like that just sounds so much better. And it's not you. It's hard to tell if that is a headset mic or like a mic like this. Like,
yeah.
It's very, very good. And there hasn't been Sennheiser had their gaming headset had a very good mic.
Right.
It reminds me of that. So that's very impressive.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty impressed with it. The Void Pro just sounds a little tinny, but the mic on this is a definite upgrade. You know, so if you're not ready to make that move to the dedicated microphone, it's definitely worth checking out.
And then this does work, yep, of course, since it is a Corsair
Pro. Yeah, IQ compatible.
Work with IQ.
Yep, exactly. So you can adjust that lighting, you know, your volumes, your EQ from a couple presets that they have, or you can customize them as well. Nice. You can also kind of adjust. There's a setting where, there's an accelerometer in here actually. So if you leave it on wireless mode, you don't have to switch it off. You can just leave it on wireless, set it down, and you can set a timer in the application to say, hey, I want the headset to turn off after a certain amount of time.
That is awesome.
But you can pick it back up and it'll kind of kick back on.
It will kick back on. That's really cool. There might be other headsets that have that, but I haven't heard of that.
It's a pretty smart feature. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, well, that's kind of nice.
Thing, with wireless devices is that a lot of times, especially with mice, like when they die, a lot of times you can't wire them in. Like you have to wire them in to charge them, but you can't wire them in, have it charge, like in work,
charge and use it at the same time.
Yeah, so that's such a great feature. That's probably one of the best features of, and that's in all models, or is it just the SE?
On that I'd have to look.
I would assume it's in all models.
Yeah,
you think?
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do that in both of them there. So
that's really, really cool.
Yeah,
I think that's like I said, that's one of the best features. I love that this does not look like a gaming headset.
Yep,
and I mean, I would wear this around, like, I, you know.
Right, you don't feel like, you know, with the Void, it's a fine-looking headset, but it definitely looks gamerish, whereas this looks like that high-end audio.
Is the band here, is this metal?
It is, yep. Okay. So that's a metal band on the inside. It's got, you know, your markings there for whatever size you want. So if you take it off and put it in that pouch, take it back out, set it to the size, you know, you just kind of notate whatever setting it was.
Yeah.
The ear cups swivel 180 degrees so you can lay them flat.
Nice.
You know, when you've got it around your neck.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Not too bad.
So you get 9 out of 10. It is.
I did.
It's pricey.
It's got it. The, you know, my one con is the price. It is $210 for a headset. A wireless gaming headset is, you know, it's a premium product. You kind of bring in the high-end materials, the high-end accessories, the pouch. You start looking at some of those things, and that's, I think, where Corsair has kind of set their mark for, this is what we're going to...
Do you know how much the non-SE is?
$179, I believe. Okay. So even that is still a pretty high-end
headset. But you're doing wireless...
Wireless, it's using their Slipstream technology, so it's a Slipstream dongle there. You've got great battery life, right?
Does it also work via Bluetooth if you don't?
It is not a Bluetooth. I wish it had that, but I mean, you're asking quite a bit, you know.
But I mean, like, you know, where is that mouse? I have a Corsair mouse that. Mm-hmm. It is Slipstream mouse, but if you don't happen to have the dongle with you, you can connect it via Bluetooth.
Right.
So I thought that would be, because that would be nice, because then you could really use this with a mobile device.
Right, with a phone. Right. I know I went to test this with the 3.5 millimeter, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to plug it into my new phone. No, I'm not, because there's no plug. So luckily I still have my old phone and used that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I'm kind of jealous because nice.
That's right. There's some new audio equipment from.
I do like these Razors, but they're like big. These are big cans.
They're pretty big. They look pretty gamerish.
Yeah, and they're neon green. Where yours was just like sleek and nice. I'm kind of jealous you got this. So, very cool stuff. So for our video this week, I did another vlog where I built a desk. I'll bring it up here for you guys. So I talked about it a bunch, I think, in the past two podcasts, I think, about, you know, getting a new desk and doing all that stuff. And here you can see This is, you know, my setup where I'm sitting actually right now. So I got the autonomous Smart Desk 2. At the time, it was called the Hybrid Edition, but they changed the name. But I, you know, I do go through the entire thing from building it to putting it together. After a couple of weeks use, I tell you, you know, what I like about it, what I don't like about it. Yeah. That's a really funny face. you know, everything like that. So it is, I'm using it now. I love it. Check out the video because that goes through the whole building process and how I set things up and all of that. Cool. We already did the review a couple of weeks ago. So this is just like a follow-up video going over building and showing you, you know, on video, how easy it is to set up. I set the entire thing up on video by myself, and this is a huge tabletop. So definitely check that video out. And then we brought back the worst PC setups. We took a few months off, actually. So if you're not familiar, you guys are new to this. The worst PC setups is basically where we go, and so a lot of people do submit still, but we go out and find some of the worst PC setups. Like either people are moving, they don't have money for a desk, they're just
They're at college, whatever it is, they're just horrible humans.
Whatever it may be, we pick 20 and then we post them up for you guys to look at. And you know, if you just go through these, they're just bad. You know, just
I mean, I can understand like some of these setups, right? Like it's temporary. You know, furniture can be expensive. You don't have a lot of room. But the ones that give me the most are just like the where there's trash. Like
this, you just gotta get rid of trash. Like your mouse.
Man, where do your feet go?
And you're like, you must be leaning forward on this one.
Yeah,
you know, they do have a nice monitor. That's a nice monitor.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know how that's even used. Like that's a trackball. And there's a fishing rod.
It's a Mac, right?
Yeah. There's just some of these are. Yeah, and like there's just clean up. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are pretty bad.
I always like to see these ones. These like ones they're where like, people and like if you
folding tables,
it looks like they're using this little table, but then you look down and then there's actual
like books and magazines
making so the table's higher so you're not
sloppy. When you got to get enough at each corner to like make it so it's flat.
Yeah, so, yeah. These are just some of these are really bad, but. If you guys want to, I always say when we post this, like this make, even if you're like my setup right now, you guys can't see it, but I have some monsters over here and some, you know, just some stuff everywhere. I have this graphics card sitting here. Like it's not the cleanest, but then I look at some of these and I'm like,
yeah, it's not so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
my life,
like, yeah, like
life.
This old desk, like, you know, or like that.
This one, that CRT one I saw.
Can you imagine staring at a CRT these days?
I
can't. Have a nice mouse though.
And the thing is, they've got the LCD next to them. Like, why not make that your main one?
Yeah. You know? Or like this one was called the standing desk, which I support, because this does a sit stand desk. And I actually did stuff like this back in the day before I could afford a sit stand desk. That I applaud. I'm not sure about the Baywatch 1991 poster
or whatever other poster that is. Yeah.
But. Yeah. Whatever that is over there. But I do applaud the standing desk. I don't know how exactly you're gaming because your mouse is not at eye level. You're gaming down here. So what is, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
But yeah. And then you got some like this.
Some kids furniture.
Yeah. So, but definitely check out this article. It's really funny. It just gives us a laugh every week, I think, or every month that we do it. So it is really funny. And then of course we are still running our contest with Cooler Master. If you guys haven't got in this yet, there is 9 days left. We're giving away their ML240P Mirage, which is this AIO right here. So it's 240 millimeter AIO. Perfect. You know, you need a better CPU cooler or something like that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we're giving away one of their MWE Gold 750 watt power supplies. So you're going to get them both. So, you know, maybe you're looking to do a build and you just can't afford it yet. You can get both of these products and that's going to save you, you know, some money on your new build. If you, you know, just have some older components, you know, this is a great upgrade, or you have a stock cooler, especially the Intel stock cooler, if you're still running it, or like an old processor on that thing.
Yeah. This would do wonders.
This would do wonders for you and everything like that. So, yeah, so there's 9 days left. There's a ton of ways to enter, 16 different ways to enter, or do a bunch of different stuff. But we've got a lot of entries, over 5,000 entries, but definitely get your entry in if you haven't. And in 9 days, we might have another contest coming up too. So definitely stay tuned for that. Try to give you guys a bunch of contests, throughout the new year and everything. So stay tuned for that. But, let's move on to news. And we moved the podcast from Wednesday to Thursday specifically to talk about what we're about to talk about, AMD. And yeah. It seems for the past month, we've been talking about AMD.
Talking about every week.
In some form or fashion. But it's here. So first, we'll talk about the Ryzen 9 3950X was made official this morning. You know, we knew about the 3950X. It was teased when they launched the Ryzen 3000 series.
Right.
World's first 16-core desktop processor, mainstream desktop processor. It is official now. Basically, the only thing that we didn't know were the clock speeds, and I think that's it. Everything, the price was...
Yeah, I think everything else was pretty spoiled.
Yeah, but it is official now. So it's 16-core, 32-thread, 3.5 gigahertz base, 4.7 gigahertz boost, 72 megabytes of cache, that's L2 and L3, and 105-watt TDP. And it's $749, which doesn't seem expensive for a 16-core processor.
No,
to me,
yeah, that seems pretty reasonable, especially when you look at the performance of the supposed performance of it.
Yeah, so they did release performance numbers. One, this is gaming, so you can see that, you know, compared to the 9900K, it does do pretty well. The 9900K does beat it in a few titles, but it's very close. Now keep in mind, we do have the 9900KS, which would probably beat this. But I think, again, gaming, you're not, and the difference is nominal. It's like not a whole lot, right?
Right. I mean, you look at it, they're very close across the board.
But if you go to like Adobe Premiere and encoding and doing different things like that, I mean, that's where this processor excels. You have 16 cores, and for process or for applications like Premiere, which are multi-threaded, you're gonna get a lot more performance. I mean, if you look at the difference, up 42%, 79%, you know, just.
You wanna show your screen?
Oh, I'm not showing my screen.
No, you're not showing it right now.
There we go. So just to tell you guys, so we'll go back to the gaming stuff, since I messed that one up. But yeah, I mean, it's very close in performance to the 9900K. You can see, you know, just like I said, it's not going to make the biggest difference. Now,
no,
we always say this, and I always say, if you're 100% gaming, that's all you're going to do is game. You're not going to stream. You're not going to do anything else. You're just going to game. You're not going to edit your gameplay after. You're just going to game. That's what you want. 9900K, 9900KS is still the way to go. Even an 8700K. Might be the way to go. I mean, but if you're going to do anything that's multi-threaded, whether it's streaming, whether it's encoding, whether it's editing your video, your game videos, whether it's just doing anything else, if you look at the performance that, you know, that you're going to get over a 9900K, it's
just, I mean, just think about the time you're saving on stuff, especially when you're rendering those long videos.
When I went from using a mainstream processor to a high-end desktop processor, which I use to encode, my encoding time just went cut down so crazily. And it's time is money, you know?
Yeah.
Or you could just be doing other things. You could be, you know, you're done encoding, so you can go back to gaming. So this will be available November 25th, $749. Crazy that just a few years ago,
we're on
quad core. And now we're at 16 cores.
Yeah.
16. Which is really crazy to think about. And $749 for a mainstream part is high.
It is.
But this is like basically the chip you get if you want to do
everything, any type
of rendering stuff, but you're not like, you don't need to go to high-end desktop, right?
Right.
You just don't need all the extra lanes you're running.
And you don't have to, you don't have to go to a workstation board with this processor either, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't have to step up to that level either.
You won't need to buy quad channel memory. You won't need to do that kind of stuff. So yeah, so you have that. That was one of the announcements today. And then we have Threadripper 3. We've been talking about Threadripper 3 for at least a month, I feel.
Quite a while, yep.
So we thought we would get 4 processors. We got 2. So they launched the 3970X and 3960X. The 3960X is 24 core, 48 thread. And that's weird to start, like, to start the high-end desktop line.
At 24.
When Intel's ends at 18.
Right, you're starting it, yeah. I could have seen them doing a 16 core, but I mean...
But then you would cannibalize...
You're cannibalizing your Ryzen 9.
But so the 3960X, 24 core, 48 thread, 3.8 gigahertz base, 4.5 gigahertz boost, 140 megabytes of cache.
That's nuts.
And then you have the 3970X, which is 32 core, 64 thread, 3.7 gigahertz, 4.5 gigahertz, 144 megabytes of cache. They're $1,399 and $1,999 respectively. It is weird that you don't have a processor at $1,000 or under $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it would cannibalize or partly cannibalize the 3950X, but it seems weird. I think that a lot of people are saying that like Threadripper 2 will still be in existence, and that's what they want, the competition against Intel's upcoming 10th gen high-end desktop to be. Mm-hmm. Because the performance, especially when it comes to like the higher end chips, will be, I guess, around the same. And it just won't cannibalize their that part. It's just weird.
I think could have had $1,000 part somewhere 500, in there.
600 should be like, at least in my opinion, like the base, like the starting point of high-end desktop.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just
they got their reasons.
The big thing is too is that AMD does want to be the performance leader. They want to say, you know, in this segment where we have this,
right?
We have
our lowest end is better than your, you know, yeah,
yeah.
So they can be the leader at all levels.
Yeah, and with this TRX 40 launch, so one thing to note is that Threadripper 3. Will not be compatible with X399 motherboards. The socket is basically the same, but it's different. It is cooler compatible the same with the TR4, which is on the X399 boards. So if you had a Threadripper cooler, it's going to work on the new boards, but the old processors will not work on the new boards, and the new processors will not work on the old boards, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And the platform is pretty crazy. You have 48 PCI Express or 64 PCI Express Gen 4 lanes, which you can do a lot. 48 of those are for PCI Express 16/16/16. So you're actually going to get 16/16/16. Even in the Intel high-end desktop space, there's not a whole lot of boards that offer that. So that's one thing that's going to be nice. You know, you have 8 general purpose lanes, which is probably in most cases will be configured for the 2 NVMe X4s on there as well. All of the TRX 40 boards have been announced. We didn't really cover them because there's a bunch. But every major motherboard manufacturer has something right now, with probably more coming. They're very similar to X570 in their feature sets, and they're actually built. The TRX 40 has been built in house by AMD. So the X570 was pretty impressive. So I think TRX is going to be, you know, equally impressive.
Yeah.
If you guys want to check out the box shots and everything, we have all that on the site too. Cool. But yeah, so for like,
It kind of has me excited. Like, I've never been that high-end desktop person. I haven't ever owned a high-end desktop system. If they had that lower price point, it might make me, you know, reconsider doing a X570 build and going with that. Just because these parts seem so so wild, and you know, just the performance and core counts, just I'm in awe of everything. So really pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the core counts, it's just, I just, you know, not that we always thought of AMD as like the cheap alternative, but they were to the lower end, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's just to see the line start at $1,399 is, I don't know.
You can buy a pretty decent complete PC for $1,399.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you're doing this, you really need to make use of those three X16 lanes. You need to be, you know, making money off your PC in some way or another to make this worth it, unless you just have a ton of money to burn. Not to burn, but, you know, to throw at this. So yeah. And then the other announcement from AMD today was on the low end, you would say. Actually, it's super low end. But they announced a new APU. So they announced the Athlon 3000G. This basically kind of finalizes out the low end of their Picasso 12 nanometer APUs. So it is Zen Plus, so it is 12 nanometer, not 7, like all of the APUs are currently. Zen Plus, and then it has Vega graphics inside. And they're basically targeting, at least I think they're targeting 720p gaming with this. So if you're using the integrated the GPU, you'll get 720p gaming. This is a $50 parts, $49, which gives you CPU and GPU on the same die.
Yeah.
You know, you match this up with a cheap B450 board, and then all you need is memory and an SSD.
You can get into a system pretty cheap.
Very, very cheap. I was really impressed with the APU that I took a look at earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this one's not at that level. But if you could say that I could do 720p in, you know, Counter-Strike Source and Fortnite and that stuff, I would be very impressed for $50.
Cool. When I saw that price, I was pretty surprised.
Interesting about this is that they left, it has an unlocked multiplier.
So you can still overclock it and get more out of it.
You can actually overclock this, which is kind of cool too. We've seen some crazy low-end overclocking on some of these parts, so that's really cool. They bumped up the speed a little bit from the previous one. So it's just a great, like, I think three really great announcements or launches from AMD. Mm-hmm. You know, just I think it's good. I'll have to share my screen again to show you guys.
That's all right. I was gonna say something, but I was like, there's not a ton of it's a pretty basic part, but pretty impressive nonetheless.
Yeah,
but
I mean, like, you know, to build, like, say, like, you know, you have a younger child, like, to build their first PC.
Here's your Minecraft box.
Yeah, or whatever. Or
Roblox,
like,
or whatever.
This could also be, like, you know, just a browsing machine for somebody. You know what I mean? Very cheap to get into. You know, you would need, again, you would need memory, SSD, case.
And a board.
Power supply.
Yep.
And a board. Yeah, it wouldn't be all that expensive to really get into all this. So yeah, like I said, three great announcements from AMD. I like it. Also talking about AMD, because, you know, everything's AMD.
Might as well.
It seems like. People did a little digging into the open source Radeon drivers. And it looks like there could be up to 5 RX 5000 series SKUs based off the Navi 14. So we have, as I showed you guys, we have 5700 and 5700 XTs. That's off the different silicon. The new 7 nanometer silicon would be Navi 14. That's for the lower end cards. According to, you know, you can see the stuff here in the drivers and everything like that. You would get a 5500 XT. And you would get a 5500, and then you would get a RX 5300, which would be like very entry level, going after, you know, the NVIDIA GTX 1600 series. Mm-hmm. Also, mobile SKUs were pulled out of the driver, so you have a Navi 14 XTM, and that would be the Radeon RX 5500M, and then you have a Radeon 3 which would be the RX 5300 M. So yeah, I think that moving down instead of up is the smart thing to do when it comes to 7 nanometer on the GPU side. I think this card specifically, the 5700 XT, has done a great job really upsetting the marketplace, because we have super cards when we didn't necessarily.
Yeah. And
we already have super cards in the 1600 series when we didn't really need them.
Didn't need them either.
And that was all because of these cards that are supposed to come out. You know, I'm interested to see, like, you know, if 5500 could be, because, like, again, I'm not going to pick it up again because I feel like I'm going to drop it. But, you know, the 5700 XT is the 1440p card. So, like, a 5500 XT could be like
your 1080.
1080p card. The 5300 could be like the 1080p esports card, right? You know, these are going to be very low cost. I'm really excited to see that. AMD has really disrupted the GPU space because, again, we have supers when we don't need them, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, so we have that this week, and what else do we have this week? NZXT, a very surprising announcement.
Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere, at least to me.
To me too, it kind of came out of left field here. NZXT, who we know for AIOs and cooling, cases. That's like a big thing, and I totally forgot it. AIOs, cases, sometimes power supplies, of course, their lighting stuff.
Yep.
But now they're making audio products. So they announced 3 audio products all at the same time. And you can see them, all 3 of them together here.
Yeah, that was one thing I thought was really cool, is they're all obviously usable individually, but when you start bringing them together, they really start working as a nice cohesive group of products.
Yeah. So the 3 products, you have the AER headset. This is a wired stereo headset. And the thing that is a little weird to me is $130 for a wired.
I wish it was wireless. Yeah.
Wired stereo headset is $130.
Yep.
I don't know what's all in this. The one interesting thing about, I guess it's super light, which a lot of people want, in a headset, especially gamers. It's available in white and black. Here's the white one. But the actual head, the mic boom is interchangeable on each side.
Yeah, you can swap it around.
I do like that. That's cool. The interesting feature that caught my attention, surprisingly.
Yep. That was the main thing that I noticed, you know, or that caught my attention with the headset, at least. You know, for the most part, it's a pretty standard headset from what it
looks like. Now, why does it say Nahimic 7.1 with USB connection if it's a stereo headset?
Well, it's that, you know,
virtual
7.1.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it comes with a USB connection.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So you have the headset. So $129, and then you have the mix. I guess it's called Mixer, but it's MXER. They're calling that their audio control station. Basically, it's like a little sound card that has a DAC in it. It has the Nahimic 7.1 surround sound. You can connect your stereo headset into this. Yep. Has some, you know, you can see it has some cool RGB or not. I don't know if they're RGB, but at least LEDs that will show you the volume, and you have a little volume up and down there.
Well, that's actually not a volume, but a
The voice.
Wow, okay. I am like, yeah, totally.
I have one on this headset too. So it basically, your fader, so you can have higher game volume or higher voice volume. So if you want to hear your friends, you turn up voice. If you want to hear more of your game, you turn this knob down to gain. So you have that, and that is $100, which I don't feel is cheap.
No.
And then you have the stand, which is STND. It is basically a stand that's made of metal that has a little thing for your cable to go down and connect. So when you have them all 3 together, they look
right.
Oh, I can't. Let's see. They look like this.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Get into all of these. It's what, $280?
Something like that. The cool thing though with that stand and the headset, and I don't know if you noticed this, but the headband padding has a little notch in it, and this is something that always bugs me using headset stands.
That is true.
Is that it, like, you know, you stick this headset on my stand over here and you get that little notch and it presses in on the foam, but yeah, with this design now, it's I don't know. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel that this is all very expensive.
Yes.
I know it's NZXT and I know people are going to buy it because it's NZXT.
Yep.
I just feel that a lot of it's very expensive. I think it is cool and working together as one system would be great.
The stand also does the... I guess when you have them all together, one of the cool things, the combination was like, if you were using your headset, it knew to pump the audio to your headset. But if you put your headset back onto the stand, you could have your speakers connected and it would kind of transition over to your speakers, which I, you know, instead of having to get out of your game, go to your Windows sound piece, setting, it switches that for you.
Setting headset on stand while mixer is connected automatically switches your audio to your speakers, removing.
Yeah, it kind of fades it in, which is nice.
That is cool. I would have to see the quality of this headset to make it 130, right? You know?
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, to get into all this, that's 230 plus another 50. So 280.
Yeah, 280. That's all.
You can buy a nice...
You can buy a $10 stand.
I mean, you can buy a nice DAC in like a nice like... Who makes this really nice like audio? I don't think it's Audio Technica, but whoever makes this like really nice stereo headsets that you plug into your DAC, for around the same price. But this is all gamer centric,
My AKG that I have over here.
Yeah. Did they say when this stuff's going to be available? I don't know because it's all pre-order right now.
Yes.
Only 2-year warranty, which is. Yeah. I would
like on headsets you like to see a little more just because you're taking them off, throwing them on your desk, they get thrown in bags, but
we'll see. Obviously when this stuff comes out, maybe we'll try to get some of the stuff into review and tell you guys a little bit more about it and how it all works together, obviously. We have that this week, and when Rockstar launched their Rockstar Games launcher. So we had another launcher, right? I didn't really think anything of it, but then I was like, oh yeah, like Red Dead Redemption 2 has not hit PC. And that was the big reason for the whole launcher was Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC. It launched a few days, like 2 days ago? Or was it
a couple days ago?
Yeah, a couple days ago. It's been a horrible launch. Horrible. So many people can't even get the game to load. So they'll open the Rockstar launcher, which you have to, and then they'll go to load the game, and the launcher just completely crashes. So everything crashes.
Okay.
Or the game launches, and then you get to the screen, and then it just crashes. And that's like a lot of people. So, Rockstar
pretty actually, widespread then it sounds like
it's very widespread. Rockstar actually updated the launcher to try to fix it. It still hasn't been fixed. I know, like, on my Twitter feed there's just so many people that still like they're like I still can't play the game, like I can't. People have updated drivers, people have put the exceptions in their antivirus, people have reinstalled and uninstalled. Even if they're able to load up the game, it has been playing very badly. Just like a lot of glitches with audio and video. Like, it's been a very bad launch and it hasn't looked good on Rockstar at all.
I wonder, how much of that is due to the launcher and how much of it is due to just the porting over from console. Because, I played Grand Theft Auto on my PS3 and, and then got it on PC as well. And it ran great, and is used as a benchmarking game still to this day.
A lot has to do with the launcher because we used to use Grand Theft Auto 5 for benchmarking. I never had a problem with it.
No. The only problem was whenever you change those video settings, you have to get out of the game and back
in. That's the one thing I hated about it. If you make games and if I install a new GPU in my system, do not reset my settings because that, I have to go in and do it again. Or sometimes even if you relaunch the game, it like resets your settings. That's the worst thing. But in any case, it has been a really bad launch for this. It doesn't look good for Rockstar at all. People say,
I'm glad I didn't buy it.
You should have just left it on the Steam, you know?
Yeah, let them.
Yeah, it's just bad. This is like the error that a lot of people are getting when the launcher closes. We put some tips on how to do it. Again, like I said, make sure the launcher's up to date. Make sure your graphics card driver is up to date. Like,
that's always
everybody's good, been good using. Advice, yeah. Everybody's complaint on Twitter is like, I'm using the game ready drivers. Apparently, they were not game ready.
For
Red Dead Redemption 2. You know, Windows updates, make sure everything's updated. Disable your antivirus if you don't want to do that. Add the exceptions in your antivirus for Red Dead Redemption 2. Run the game as an administrator. Like, I mean, there's so many problems going on with this. It hasn't been cleared up. Like this morning, I saw multiple people on Twitter saying they still haven't been able to play it. And that's a bummer because like you buy this game and you want to play it.
Yeah.
And you can't. That's just not.
Especially good. If you're one of those people that have been waiting a long time for it. Yeah, you know, just
it's not like it's like a couple people. Like it's a very high majority of people are having this problem.
Yeah.
So that's going on. If you haven't been able to get into Red Dead Redemption, let us know. We'll try to help you out. But it just hasn't been good. Hasn't been good at all. And our last little piece of news this week is to do with Steam. Since we're talking about Steam, a platform that typically runs good. They finally have updated. Well, you see Steam updates all the time. You're like,
it's updating all the time.
Yeah, but what has actually changed?
What to do? I don't know.
They have upgraded the Steam library. So they've made it kind of like, it just feels better. It feels newer. So when you go to your library now, you'll get this like, what's new? You'll see like, you know, games that have been updated, things like that. You'll see like the recent games that you've played or that you bought. You get to see your friends' activity now, which I think is, which is good. You get to see what your friends are playing. Like, hey, I saw you played this last week, or I saw you played this yesterday. You want to jump in a game together? You know, you can have lists now. So like, this is like night games. I'll go down here. I don't have that other screenshot in here, but like you can have lists like night games, like games I want to play at night. And you can see all of those. When you actually go into a game, there's a lot going on too. So, you know, you go into a game, you can obviously just hit play to play it, but you can see all your friends that are playing the game. All of the updates from the developer, like here's the update, you know, all of your achievements, like it's all right in here, which is really great. It gives the developers like a better platform to say like, you know, this is what we did for this update. This is why you should be playing this game, things like that.
What I'm appreciative of is that like it looks updated and nicer, and I haven't actually popped it open yet, but is that it still looks and feels like Steam. It doesn't, you know, it's not one of those overhauls where everything's different and you don't know where, you know, and you just end up losing some of your player base even. I'm excited to kind of hop in there and take a look. I just haven't had time to.
Yeah, I took a look at it when I was benchmarking, and it does look so much nicer. It's nice that like you can make lists. So like I'll make a list over here that says, you know, that's going to say benchmark, you know, have all my games that I benchmark that, so I don't have to go through my massive list of games, you know. So it's just good. Cool. Like I think again, there's like all those memes out there that say, you know, like Steam is updating, but what has actually changed?
Right.
It's good to see this. It's been needed. And I think, you know, with the competition from all these other launchers and things like that, Steam needed to do something. So this is a nice update for sure. So if you haven't loaded up Steam in the past week, load it up, and you know, you can create lists, you can do all this new stuff. It's just worth checking out, and it makes you kind of want to open Steam again if you haven't in a while. So talking about what we have coming up next week, I finally have got my hands on an RTX 2080 Super, and I'm super pumped. See, I did it. I'm super pumped, to check this one out. This is the Zotac RTX 2080 Super Amp. I don't know why the Zotac website is just taking.
Well, your video is like super blurry for me, and your screen share is a little blurry. So I don't know if you got some I don't know what issues or what.
Who knows? I have too many tabs open
in Chrome.
I don't have a ton, but no. Yeah, I know what you mean. I should probably close some stuff. But anyways, here it is. This is the GeForce RTX 2080 Super Amp. Factory overclock, custom PCB with a 16+4 power phase design, custom cooling solution. This isn't their super high end, like their Amp Extreme, but it is, you know, factory overclock and things like that. Custom cooling solution, like we say, you should always buy aftermarket for the most part. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then I'll be taking a look at another set. Then I was actually surprised that I got this in around the same time as the other one. This is Crucial's Ballistic Elite DDR4 that has no RGB.
Another one, man.
Yeah. So this kind of, honestly, their design is kind of like reminds me of Dominators almost. Very similar to like the old Dominators kind of. So
I've always liked this look on the Ballistic series.
Yeah, so this is like their high performance memory that's non-RGB. It's their Elite. So I'll take a look at that. I'll be taking a look at the 3600 megahertz kit, 16 gig kit. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at an SSD. And this is not an M.2 or a super fast. This is like basically the SSD to replace your hard drive, right?
So make that jump.
Make that jump from
spinning disk to solid state drive,
especially like if you have an M.2 and you want to go into, say, like, you know, you want to replace your spinning disks with SSDs, like this is what you would kind of want to do. Yep. So not like, again, 550 megabytes a second,
TLC,
yeah, TLC NAND in there, things like that. So all of that for you guys next week as well. Yeah, guys, that is basically it. At the end of the podcast, we typically talk about, you know, if we did anything tech related, if we watched anything, movies, did you do anything?
I just saw your list. You can go first.
Okay. So I
want to know your thoughts.
I used it tonight for the first time. So,
okay.
I bought an Instapot, which is, if you don't know, it's a cooking device, but it's like tech related. It's kind of tech, I guess. You know, it's basically, they say it's like six devices in one.
I swear there's like a dozen in one, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so
at least six in one.
This is the Instapot. It's basically, and you see so many people talking about it and like, you see it all the time. It was $40 off on Amazon. So I just was like, I'm going to buy it. You know, it's the cheapest it's ever been. It's always been $100 and it was $40 off. So I was like, it's cheaper than anywhere else. I'm going to get it.
Yep. What'd you make? Rice?
So all I did in it was I just steamed broccoli. But I have to say, so typically I just steam broccoli in like a pan or in like a pot
on the stove. Yeah.
On the stove. So I made it in here. And then when I make it on the stove, it's like always just like soggy. Like I just don't do it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, I just followed like somebody had a tutorial on YouTube. All I did was just like put a cup of water on it, put the broccoli in, put it on a setting, and it just does it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to do anything else. And the thing that was great is that the broccoli was cooked, but it was crisp. It wasn't like soggy like I typically make it. Or like you think of soggy, like you think of like microwavable broccoli.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we have one. And I've used it once and we've probably had it for close to 6 months. I made rice in it once. My issue is it takes up so much space. It's pretty big.
Which one did you get? I got the 6-quart and it's not super huge.
I mean, it's not huge, but it takes up a decent amount of space. And our kitchen like doesn't have a ton of storage area, so it sits on the counter. But I'd like to use it more. It's just I haven't had a chance to.
The thing that really liked about it was like how it could cook things much faster.
Yeah.
Saving time and then just being able to like throw a ton of stuff in and just have it cook it.
Throw it in the morning and it's ready in the night.
Yeah, we did dinner. Have a slow cooker. But I was like, one, it was getting really old. You know, I've had it for like forever. And this gives you like the pressure cooker. It allows you to cook rice. It, you know, it has everything.
Yeah, they're cool.
You know, and there's so many, like, because Instapot is like so popular, there's so many recipes. It's like, this week I'm going to make this in the Instant Pot and try it, and you know, gives me something to do, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we would probably use it more. We do the HelloFresh thing, so like two days a week, we've got that going on. So, yeah, it just hasn't done it. But I did. I haven't messed with it much other than taking it out of the box. But I was at Target the other day looking for who knows what, and I came across, and I'd seen these previously on sale. It's the Kano Pixel Kit. What and it's that? Usually like, it's like $80 usually, but it was on clearance for $24. So I just threw it in the cart. And so it's this little, it's what?
I was gonna say, can you show it? Like show
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a grid of RGB LEDs on here, and it comes in this little kit, and it's got a rechargeable battery and some USB ports. And really it's like a learning how to code kit. So it's got like a little, this black piece is a joystick. It's got some buttons so you can play games. It has this little knob on top that kind of changes between which program you want to run. So let me flip it on real quick here.
That does look really cool.
So I'm and it's super bright.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, man, you can't even,
it's kind of hard to tell. Yeah. What's
yeah, it is. Yeah. Let me,
that's all right. Don't we get
it's,
the idea.
It's
cool.
It's like, yeah.
So you can really program cool in your own stuff.
Oh yeah, you can, you know, have it scroll your name or your
that is very
your
cool
website, and then you just move this little box up top, and so you can like, oh man, I really wish.
No, I think we can kind of say it, yeah.
But it like, this is a little snake game. You can do all sorts of stuff with it. So I'm really excited to actually get some time with it. Just haven't, but for $24, so I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's pick
this awesome thing up. Yeah. It's really designed for kids, you know. So maybe I'll get it hooked up to the computer and start working on some stuff like that with my son. But
we'll yeah, see. Yeah, I think that's like a great visual way to learn how to code, which is I think yeah really
yeah, kind of neat.
But yeah, guys, that's
that was it.
I you know what's interesting is that I got that iPad, mm-hmm, and you've been wanting me to say that
you haven't used it.
Yeah, but I use it every night now.
Okay.
One.
Well, good.
Yeah. So. For those who don't know, I bought an iPad Pro, yep, to replace a laptop, and I was still kind of skeptical, but everything has worked out great. Now my good nightly routine before I go to bed every night is that I write like something for the site, mostly reviews at night. I write them like for like an hour before I go to bed. I'll write you know, part of a review, and then I'll read. And I've actually like been reading more because I have the iPad. So
yeah, cool.
So it's worked out good. So I'm pretty pumped about that. But that is it, guys. If you have been following along, we do have our show notes page that has everything that we did talk about. So, you know, if you're going through, you can go ahead and click through and get all the information on everything, you know, that we talked about this week and all that. But if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.